Turn to John chapter number 16, and I want to remind you that I've been preaching a series of messages I've entitled Revelations from the Resurrection. And we discovered in Matthew chapter number 12 that when the scribes and Pharisees came to the Lord asking for him to perform a sign, that he told them that there would not be any other sign given. That is, apart from his miracles and messages that he already performed, no other sign would be given, that is, per their request, except for what he referred to as the sign of Jonah. And he explained what he meant, and that is that the only sign that would be given would be the same sign that is found in the story of Jonah whenever he was swallowed by that fish. It was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. And then, of course, after those 3 days and nights, the fish spit him out, and he went to the city of Nineveh, and he preached the word of God to them. And Jesus said that even in the same way that Jonah was in the belly of the fish those 3 days and three nights, and he would be in the heart of the earth also those 3 days and three nights. And, of course, he was talking about the fact that after his death on the cross, that he would be buried in a tomb, and then, of course, after 3 days, it would be raised from the dead, that the only sign that would be given would be indeed his resurrection from the dead. And his resurrection is indeed a sign. And like a sign, it reveals something to us. That is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead reveals some wonderful truths to our hearts that God wants for us to know. First of all, it reveals to us, as we've discovered in this series of messages, it reveals to us that the Savior is alive, that our Savior is not dead. He's not lying in a tomb. His body is not lying in state somewhere, but he is risen bodily, resurrected from the dead, and he is alive. We discovered also that the resurrection reveals to us that the enemy is abolished, and that is the enemy of death, and the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, according to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse number 10, has been abolished. It has been destroyed. We discover thirdly that the shepherd is ascended. The one who described himself as the good shepherd to give his life for the sheep. The one who said he would provide eternal life for his sheep, that they would follow him, hear his voice and follow him. That same shepherd is the one who has now ascended to the right hand of the Father, who has all power and all authority, who's been exalted above all and over all, demonstrating that he is the shepherd who is able and can provide exactly what he said he would provide for his sheep. The shepherd is ascended. We also discovered, fourthly, that the resurrection reveals to us that the blood is adequate. The blood that Jesus shed when he died on that cross, that indeed his blood made atonement for our sin, was adequate for our redemption, it was adequate for our remission, and it was adequate for our reconciliation to God and for us to have a righteous relationship in the sight of God. That is, the blood that Jesus shed is adequate, and we know that it is because of the empty tomb, because he is raised from the dead. We discovered as well, fifthly, that the covenant is acquired. That is, the covenant that was prophesied in the Old Testament by the prophets, the covenant that Jesus spoke about to his disciples when he said that this is the blood of the new covenant, or the new Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That new covenant has been acquired. It's been acquired by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. That is, the life that he poured out and the death that he suffered acquired the new covenant. And the reason why we know that it's acquired is because God raised him from the dead. That is, the empty tomb, the resurrection of Christ reveals to us that the new covenant is in place. It has been acquired. We discovered, sixthly, that the resurrection reveals to us that the peace is available. I'm talking about the peace that Jesus spoke to his disciples about in the upper room in John 14, verse 27, where he said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Jesus is indicating that when he left, that he would leave his peace with them. And do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that he did? After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples in John 20, and do you know what he said? "Peace be unto you." In other words, the Bible indicates to us that this peace, that is the peace that we can have with God, that is the peace that can fill our hearts and that can characterize our relationships, that peace that Jesus promised, his peace is now available to us, and we know that it is because Jesus has been raised from the dead. So we began looking this past Lord's Day at another aspect, another revelation from the resurrection. And that is, we discovered in John chapter number 16 that the resurrection reveals to us that the Spirit is active. Listen again to what Jesus said in John 16, 7. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or necessary or good for you that I go away." And he explains why. Remember now when he talks about going away here, he's not talking about taking a vacation, a little trip, but he's talking about his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand. He said he's going to go away. And he said, "It's good for you that I go away." And here's why. "For if I go not away, the Comforter..." Now listen, when the Bible talks here about the Comforter, if you were reading in the earlier chapters in chapter 14, you would know who this is. The Comforter, the Bible tells us in John 14, is indeed the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the same one who had been with them, and Jesus said will one day be on the inside of you, the Spirit of truth. He is the Comforter. Jesus said, "I'm going to go away, and I'm going to give you another Comforter, even the Spirit of truth." So he's talking here about the Holy Spirit of God. He uses the word Comforter. It is a word that describes somebody who is with you, somebody who is going alongside of you. In this case, he's going to actually live on the inside of you. Now, Jesus was their Comforter. He was the one who was with them. He was the one who was guiding them. He was the one who was teaching them. He was their Comforter. Listen, their Comforter is going to ascend to the right hand of God, and he's going to intercede for us right there at the right hand of the Father, but he's not going to leave us comfortless. And the reason why is because there's another Comforter coming, another one just like him. It is the Spirit of Christ who's not only going to be with us, but the Bible says he's actually going to live on the inside of us. But in order for that to happen, Jesus said, "I have to go away. If I don't go away, he can't come to you." And the reason why is because atonement has to be made. The price has to be paid. The blood has to be shed. Jesus has to pour out his life in order for that to happen. And listen to me now, he did. He was raised from the dead and ascended to the right hand. And his resurrection demonstrates that indeed the Comforter that he promised would come is come. And he is actively engaged in new covenant ministry. Jesus said that the Comforter, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And he has departed. He departed from the tomb, resurrected from the dead. He departed from this planet, ascended to the right hand, and he has sent the Comforter, and he showed up one day on the day of Pentecost in performing new covenant ministry. The Spirit of God is active. He is actively at work in the world today. Listen, in a way that he was not before the death and resurrection of Jesus. That is, he is actively engaged in new covenant ministry. Now, we began discovering this past Lord's Day, what is it that the Spirit of God is doing? What kind of activity is the Spirit of God engaged in since the death and resurrection of Christ? And we discovered in the next verse, in John 16, and verse number 8, that when the Spirit of God has come, Jesus said that he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. Righteousness and of judgment. That word "reprove" there is a word that means to convince or to convict. In other words, he said, when I send the Holy Spirit after my resurrection, he will convict the world. He'll convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that's what he's doing. Ladies and gentlemen, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God showed up and the Word of God began to be preached by Peter, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 2 that those who heard the words that Peter preached were pricked in their hearts. And that pricking that they experience is indeed the convicting work of the Holy Spirit as they begin to realize what sinners they were, as they realize that Jesus truly is the Christ, the righteous one, and they realize the judgment of God that was upon them. They were pricked in their hearts and begin to cry out, "What is it that we need to do?" And Peter told them to repent, and they did. 3,000 of them repented, and those who repented were baptized, the Bible tells us. So what we're discovering is, what is it that the Holy Spirit is actively doing now that Jesus has died on the cross and is raised from the dead? I tell you, he's doing this work of conviction. That's his activity. It is the activity of conviction. We also discovered this past Lord's Day that he is actively engaged in conversion. And that is, he's not only convicting the world, but he also is converting the lost. And we use that word conversion because it's a word that's used in the Bible to describe the experience of salvation. That when God the Holy Spirit begins to operate in a person's heart, operating through the Word and begins to deal with them, convicting and convincing their hearts, he brings them to the point of conversion. We might call it the big turnaround, the conversion or the turnaround. And that is when a man turns from his sin and he turns to Christ and he is forever changed, never more the same. That's what conversion is, and it is the Holy Spirit who does the work of conversion. He brings us to the point of conversion. He's the one who brings us to the end of ourselves. He's the one who reveals the Savior to us so that we can cling to the cross and trust in the Lord. And He's the one who does that work on the inside of us at conversion. He quickens us. He makes us alive. I tell you, He indwells us at the moment of conversion. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. I could keep going on, but I would preach that message again if I did. You remember what I said. I went through several things that the Spirit of God does at the point of conversion. You have an encounter with the Spirit of God that forever turns around your life when He brings you to the point of real conversion. That's what He's doing in the world today. The Spirit of God is not just trying to tickle our emotions. The Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, is not just trying to make us feel good. The Spirit of God is convicting men of sin and righteousness and of judgment, and He is converting them, bringing them to the end of themselves, and turning their hearts towards Christ so that they can believe on the Son of God and be forever changed by the grace of God. He's doing the work of conversion. I'm talking about the activity of the Holy Spirit, and that is, since Christ is risen from the dead, what is the Spirit of God doing? He is indeed doing the work of conviction and conversion. So I want you to think with me for a few moments this evening about His work of what I would simply call conforming. Conforming. He not only convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment, He not only brings those who are lost to the point of conversion, that is, to the end of themselves, turning to Christ and forever change, but those who have come to Christ and have been born of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, He does a work of conforming in their life. And that is, I want to talk to you about the big overall purpose of the Holy Spirit's activity in your life. I'm speaking to those of you that are believers, those who've been born again. Now listen, if you've never been born again, then the Spirit's work in your life is the work of conviction. He's trying to convince you of your lostness. He's trying to point you to the righteous one, the Lord Jesus. He's trying to reveal to you that you're under divine judgment, that you desperately need to turn to Christ. That's His work. He's trying to bring you to the point of conversion. But many of you that are listening to this message, that's happened in your life. And that is that you can remember that time when the Spirit of God did that work in you, and through the gospel, He began to work on you, brought you to the under conviction and to the point of conversion, and you remember what He did in you, and you have not been the same since that day that you turned to Christ and received Him. I'm going to talk to you about what it is the Spirit of God is actively doing in your life now that you are a child of God. And let me just say to you that the Spirit of God who now lives on the inside of you, the Comforter, is not only with you, but He's actually living on the inside of you. And He is actively engaged in a work in your life. The Spirit of God is not somebody that is sitting idle. And by the way, He is a somebody. He is a real person. The Spirit of God is not an it. He's not a force. He's not just a power. He is a real person, just like God the Father is a person and God the Son is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person. And He is engaged in your life. He's active in your life. He's not sitting off on the sideline and just hoping that someday you'll let Him do something in your life. He's not just waiting for a tragedy to hit. He's not just waiting for a virus to come. But I tell you that He is actively engaged in your life since the moment of your conversion, when He pointed you to Christ and came to live on the inside of you at the moment of your conversion. He's been actively engaged in your life. And the activity of the Spirit of God in your life is for the big purpose, the overall purpose of conforming you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 29. The Bible says this, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate," now listen to this, "to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren." The Bible tells us here that God's predetermined purpose for our lives, those of us who have been born again, His predetermined purpose for our life is that you and I would be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He's doing. Now listen to me now, that is our predestined purpose. Listen, this idea of being conformed to the image of His Son is the idea of being made like Christ. And that is that since your conversion, now that you belong to Christ and you're in Christ and the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you, the Spirit of God has been at work in your life trying to make you like Jesus. That's His purpose. Listen, everything that the Spirit of God is doing in your life has as its main purpose to make you more like Jesus. That's His overall goal. That's what He's trying to conform you. He's trying to conform you into the image of His Son. Now, when we think about this idea of being conformed, I want you to understand the Bible tells us here in Romans 8:29 that we have been predestined for that. And that is the predestination of being conformed. In other words, God has already predetermined that that's what it's going to be. And that's what the Bible describes here when it describes predestination. It means that God has already predetermined or predestined you to this end. And that is that His purpose for you is to make you like His Son, to conform you into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's already got these mind made up. As a matter of fact, listen to me now, you might as well go ahead and cooperate with God. And the reason why is because God's going to do that work in you. Whether you cooperate or whether He takes you to the woodshed, God is going to make you like His Son, the Lord Jesus. It has been predetermined. Amen. Have you ever treated your children that way? Those of you that have small children, or those of you that have raised children, or those of you that have been raised by a parent who means what they say and say what they mean. And that is, it may be that mom and dad have already predetermined that you're going to act a certain way. And you decide that you're not going to cooperate with them and you're not going to act that way. But I tell you, before the day is over, before the sun sets, you're acting just like they want you to act. And the reason why is because they decided you will act that way. They have predetermined how you are going to act. Now listen to me, some of you children that are listening to this message with your parents right now beginning to squirm just a little bit. And the reason why is because mom and dad is looking at you and smiling real big. And but I'm going to tell you something, that when your parents predetermine that you're going to act right and you're going to do right, listen, when they do that, they're acting like God. And the reason why is because that's how God treats His children. Those who have come to Him and those who are truly the children of God, God has predetermined that His children are going to act righteously and do righteousness. That we're going to be like Jesus. That we're going to act and do like Him. And listen to me now, the God who has predetermined that we're going to do that knows how to get us to the point that we do. We can cooperate, or we can get taken to the woodshed, but God has predetermined that that is going to happen. Now listen, while God has predetermined that that is going to happen, there has to be a performance of it. What I mean is this, is that you and I, because we're fallen creatures, that we don't have the capacity within our natural selves to be able to perform this conforming process. The idea of being conformed to the image of Jesus is not something that you and I can just do. Our fallenness prohibits it. But I tell you, that's what the Spirit of God does. That's His purpose. That's His ministry in us. You see, while this conforming, being conformed to the image of Christ has been predetermined by the Father, it is performed by the Spirit. That is His work in us. There's some wonderful verses revealed to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that I alluded to in my last message, but I'd like for you to look at for a few moments with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 7 reminds us about the Spirit of the Lord. Here's what it says. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse number 18. But we all, with open face. Now, I want to remind you that this open face, if you read earlier in the chapter, is set in opposition to Moses, who saw the glory of God on Mount Sinai and had to cover his face. Now, the reason why he had to cover his face is not just so that the people wouldn't be able to see the glory of God, but so that they wouldn't see the glory of God as it faded from him. And so Moses covered his face, but not so in New Covenant Christianity. That's Old Covenant law. But I tell you that under the New Covenant, you and I do not have to cover our face. And the reason why is because we do not have a fading glory. And that is that the glory that you and I have experienced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is from glory to glory, according to this verse. The Bible says here that with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. That's right. Remember now, We're being conformed to the image of His Son. But how are we changed into the same image? From glory to glory. Not fading glory, but from glory to glory to glory. How is that happening in our life? How are we being made more like to the glorious Savior, the one that we see as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord as it's revealed in the Word of God, and you and I are being changed into the same image? How is that able to happen in our life? The Bible says, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you see it there? How is it that you and I, that we can be transformed from what we were to the glorious image of the Son of God? How can we start looking less like ourselves and start looking more like Him? And I'm not talking about physical appearance. How is it that that can happen? I tell you, it is because of the work, the activity of the Spirit of God in my life and in your life. I'm just trying to see the performance. That is how this happens, this being conformed to the image of His Son. It is performed by the Spirit of God. Apart from the Spirit of God, we don't look much like Jesus at all. But I tell you, when the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you, ladies and gentlemen, you started looking a little bit like Him. And ever since He's been living in you, you've been looking more and more like Him. And do you know that's what the Spirit of God is trying to do? Everything He does in your life, it has as the overarching purpose to make you more like Jesus. Now, we've discovered that this being conformed to the image of Jesus is predetermined by the Father. And it is performed by the Spirit. And so I want you to think with me for the remaining time that we have about the process that the Spirit of God uses in our life to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. How does He do that? What is the process that He uses? Well, let me just say, first of all, He uses the process of renewal. The process of renewal. Now, that is a good biblical word. And that is a word, it's a word that describes something that is being made new again. And that is the means or the process by which the Spirit of God makes us more like Jesus. It is a process of renewal. Now we find that the writer Paul described this in the book of Titus, in Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5. And I'm going to read it to you real quick. Listen to what the Bible says in Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5. In Titus 3, 5, it says this. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. That is, we weren't saved by anything that we did, but God's mercy saved us. Listen to this. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I tell you that when you got saved, the Spirit of God did a work in you, and that work included a washing, it included a regeneration, and it included renewal. The Spirit of God regenerated you or made you alive. He washed away your sin, and He made you new. And listen to me now, the new creature that you became when God saved you is a renewing that continues to be performed by the Holy Spirit since your conversion. What I mean is this, is at the moment of your conversion, you became a brand new creature in Christ. You became new in Him. But I tell you that ever since you became new in Christ, He's been making you newer and newer and newer. The word renew carries that idea. That He made you new, and that the new person that He made you continues to have an impact or an effect or continuing results in your life. That newness keeps working itself out in your life. You continue to be made new. You became a new creature in Christ, and the new creature that you became at the moment of your conversion is now working itself out into various areas of your life. And so that like leaven, leavens a whole lump of dough. Even so, whenever God the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of your heart, He is now impacting every area of your life so that you're being made new in every aspect of your life. And that is the process by which He makes us more like Jesus. We are made new at conversion. And that newness that we've received has continuing results throughout our life. We are just continually being made new all the time by the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Now, when you think about this process of renewal, you have to think about the renewal of our body. I'm going to talk about our physical body for a few moments. And that is that you and I have been made new, or we have are experiencing the renewal of our body. Do you know that since your conversion that you have a new purpose for your body? Yeah, that's right. The Spirit of God has a new purpose. There's a renewed purpose for your body. Well, the Bible tells us about it in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Listen to what the Word of God says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, in light of the fact that you've experienced the mercy of God in salvation, the writer Paul says, in light of the mercy that you have received, if you're saved, the only reasonable, right thing to do is for you to present your body to God. As a living sacrifice, not as a dead offering, but as a sacrifice to live for Him. And that is that I'm going to use my body, every aspect of my body, I'm going to keep it holy, and I'm going to use my body for the glory of God. There's a renewed purpose for my body. Before we got saved, we used our body for sinful, selfish purposes. We used the different members of our body for sinful, selfish purposes. But now that you're a child of God, you've got a new purpose for your body. And that purpose, ladies and gentlemen, is for you to use your body as a living sacrifice so that you can live for God. Listen to what the writer says, Paul, in Romans chapter number 6. In Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 12. The Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You don't have to allow sin to control your body anymore. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. The lust of the flesh or the lust of our body doesn't have to dominate your life. Your body does not have to be controlled by the lust of the flesh. No, the Bible says in verse 13 of that same chapter in Romans 6, neither yield ye your members, that is the members of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. No, don't do that, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, that is the members of your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. You got a brand new purpose for your body, and that is that using your body to fulfill the sinful desires of your old fallen nature, now you can use your body to serve God with. And you know the reason why? Because the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you. He's working out a process of renewal in your life. And that process of renewal that He's working out in your life is for you to stop yielding your body to sinful desires and start yielding your bodies to serve God with as a living sacrifice to God. Listen, when you do that, you know what you're starting to look like? You're starting to look like Jesus. Yeah, that's what the Spirit of God is doing. You've got a renewed purpose for your body. And do you know the Spirit of God? He is preparing your body. There's a renewed future for your body as well. That is, when we're talking about this program of renewal, the renewal of the body, one of these days you and I are going to have a new body. That is, not only do we have a renewed purpose for our body to live for God instead of sin, but also a renewed future for our body. You see, the Bible tells us over in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11 that because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, that something's going to happen to our body one of these days. Listen to what it says. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. That's right. If the Spirit of Christ is dwelling in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now listen to that verse. And that is, the Bible tells us here that one of these days, if those who have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them, the one of these days, the same Spirit that lives in you is going to quicken your mortal body, going to make your body alive again someday. You say, Pastor, I thought God the Father was going to raise us from the dead. And somebody said, I thought Jesus is going to raise us from the dead. And now Romans 8, 11, it says the Spirit is going to raise us from the dead. I believe it's going to be a Trinity event, don't you? I mean, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Listen, if the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you, then you might as well mark it down one of these days. That old rotten flesh of yours that'll have to be buried in the ground someday is going to be raised from the dead. And listen to me now, when it is raised from the dead, that is when the Spirit of God raises your flesh from the dead, listen to what's going to happen to that body. Over in the book of Philippians, we read about it in chapter 3 and verse number 21. The Bible says, here's what's going to happen. He's going to change our vile body. When Jesus comes back again, when our body is raised, it's going to be changed from our vile body. Now listen to this, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according as to the working wherewith He is able to subdue all things to Himself. Do you know that when that day comes, that you and I, our body is raised from the dead, the Bible says that it's not going to be the same old vile body that was planted in the ground, but it's going to be raised and fashioned like unto His glorious body. You know what? We're going to be like Him. We're going to have a body like His. Oh, listen to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That is, those of you that have been born again, you're a child of God. You're the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. That is, we can't figure it all out yet, but here's what we know. And that is that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. You see, one of these days, there's coming a time when the Lord is going to return to this planet. And those who've been born again, indwelt with the Spirit of God, who've died, their body is going to be raised from the dead. And our body is going to be like His glorified body. Now, we can't figure out really what all that's going to be like. But we know that it's going to be like His. What I'm talking to you about is the process of renewal. The Holy Spirit is trying to make you more like Jesus. And the process that He's using is the process of renewal. And that includes, first of all, your body, your outer life. And that is that He's given you a whole new purpose for your body now that you're saved. A living sacrifice, using your members as instruments of righteousness, not for sin. And listen to me now, you have a renewed future for your body. Your body's going to be raised from the dead someday, and it's going to be like His glorious body. But this process of renewal not only includes the outer man, the body, but it includes the inner man, the mind, and heart. The renewal of the mind, or the inner man. Over in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2, we read about that. That is, after He talks about the renewal of the body in Romans 12, 1. He talks about the renewal of the mind in verse number 2. Here's what He says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, changed. Yes, the word transformed is the same word that we discovered in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 17 and 18, where it says that we're changed from glory to glory. It is the word transformed. It means to be changed from the inside out. Transformed. Notice how we're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove, that is, that you might experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of the mind. The Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you has not only in the process of renewing your body, but also in the process of renewing your mind. So that instead of having a mind that is conformed to the world, the Holy Spirit is trying to transform you by renewing your mind, by making your mind new over and over again. Now, you became a new creature when God said, at the moment of your conversion, you became a brand new creature. But the new creature that you became at conversion has continuing results in your life now that you're saved. And part of that continuing result is the fact that He is renewing your mind. That is the inner man. When I'm talking about the mind, renewing of the mind, I'm talking about what it is that we believe. I'm talking about how we think. I'm talking about the attitudes that we develop. Everything about the inner man, what we believe and how we think and the attitudes that we develop, He is trying to renew the inner man, renewing us from the inside out. Paul referred to this also in Ephesians chapter number 4. In Ephesians 4, he referred to this idea of the renewing of the mind. Here's what he wrote in verse number 22. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. He's using the idea of putting off like you would put off old clothes. He said, put off the old man, who you was before you got saved. Your old lifestyle or your old conversation, which is corrupt, he said, according to the deceitful lust. And then he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So he describes the old man and he describes the new man. The old man, the old you, the old sinful you, who you were before you got saved, the Bible says is corrupt and it is controlled by deceitful lust. And then there is the new you. The new you that you became when God saved you is indeed righteous and holy, created after the image of Him, after the image of Christ, righteous and holy. And you've got a choice about what you're going to put on. You can put on the old, or you can put on the new. And here's what the apostle is saying. One of the things that should characterize every child of God is putting off the old and putting on the new. And when you and I are putting on the new, we are cooperating with what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life, because He's trying to make us new in every area of our life. He's trying to take the new person that we became at our conversion and appropriate that newness into all the areas of our inner person, that is, of our mind, of our inner life. So that we start believing like Jesus did, so that we start thinking like Jesus did, so that we start developing the attitudes and thought life like Jesus had, so that our inner man becomes like Him, so that our heart and emotions become the expression of the life and the love of the Savior, our inner man being renewed or transformed or made new. Now, that's how God wants to operate in your life. That's what He's trying to do. You say, what's the Spirit of God? If the Spirit of God is active, what is He trying to do? He's doing a renewing, a process of renewal in your life. And that includes the renewal of your body, and it includes the renewal of your mind. The renewal of your mind means a renewed knowledge for your mind. The Bible talks about it. Paul wrote about it in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Listen to what he wrote. He said, and have put on the new man. That's right. Listen, you put on the new man, a new person in Christ. Notice now, which is renewed. How is the new man renewed or made new over and over again? In knowledge, after the image of Him that created him. God is trying to make you into the image of Him that created you, that is, who made you a new creature into Christ. And He does that, the Bible says here in verse number 10, by a renewed knowledge. Renewed in knowledge. You say, Pastor, I don't understand exactly what you mean. I'm trying to explain to you. Here's how the Spirit of God makes you new from the inside out. He does it through knowledge. In other words, He's trying to help you to understand. He's trying to help you to know. In other words, the Bible is talking about teaching here, isn't it? The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Here's how the inner man is renewed. It is as the Spirit of God reveals knowledge to us. And that's through the Word. The Spirit of God is teaching us. He has inspired this book, and He's the one who teaches us this book. He's the one who helps us to understand the truth of the Word of God. And as you and I understand the truth and appropriate to our life, then we are being made new. What is it that changes the mind of someone, of the believer? It is the Word of God that changes our mind. What is it that helps us to put away ungodly attitudes and develop godly attitudes? It is the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. We're being renewed in knowledge. We're learning, and our mind is being changed. Our attitudes are being changed. What we believe is being changed, and the reason why is because the Spirit of God has taken the Word of God and is teaching us. I'm talking to you about a renewed knowledge for our mind. It is time to learn. Some of you, you're just not learning the Word of God. You put your Bible up and you don't read it, and you don't listen to messages. You're not into preaching all that much. And listen to me now, you're missing out on what the Spirit of God is trying to do in your life. It's as though that the teaching and preaching of the Word of God is optional in your life. I'm going to say to you that you're missing out on the activity of the Holy Spirit, because He operates through the Word of God to help you to experience, in Colossians 3:10, a renewed knowledge so that you can be transformed from the inside out. That's how He operates. That's how He renews our mind. There's a renewed knowledge for our mind. Not only that, but there's a renewed focus for our mind as well. A renewed focus. And that is that the Holy Spirit has given us something to focus our mind on, something new that transforms us from the inside out. We find that Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, for example, in one place. Listen to these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul says, "For which cause we faint not." The idea is this, is that we're not giving up. He said, "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Do you hear that? The inner man, the inside. He said, my outer man, this old body is about to go down. And that is, it hurts, it's painful, it doesn't work right anymore. It's going down. But the inner man, oh no, there's nothing old about the inner man. It's being made new every day, day by day. How is that happening, Paul? He goes on and explains. Verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And then notice what he says. He said, "While we look not at the things which are seen." Here's the reason why that he's being renewed on the inside. All the while he's having problems on the outside, it's because of what he's looking at. what his focus is on. He says, I'm not looking at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Here's what he's saying. You know what I've got my focus on? I've got my focus on things that you can't see with your physical eyes. That's right. I've got my focus not on the things of this life, but I've got my focus on eternal things that cannot be seen with the eye. And that's the reason why that all the while the outer man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. It's because he's got a new focus for his mind. He's got something else to look at. He's not just looking at the things of this life. He's not just looking at things you can see with your eye, but the things you can't see with your eye, eternal things. You say, Pastor, what do you think he's got his mind on? I think he's got his mind on Jesus, don't you? Why, sure. I think he's got his affection set on things above. Well, you can read about that earlier in Colossians 3. He's got his affection set on things above and not on things on the earth. And do you know who's above, don't you? Jesus seated there at the right hand of the throne of God. That's right. Well, the writer of Hebrews told us that much, didn't he? In Hebrews chapter number 12, again, in verse number 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Jesus, at the right hand of God. The one who endured the cross, sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. He said, you just need to get your eyes on Jesus. And do you know if you get your eyes on Jesus, that that is the key to running the race? Verse number 1, he said, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul said we're in a race. You say, well, what is the race? What is the goal of the race? Is the goal to make it to heaven? No, Marty, on my way. What is the goal? The goal is to be conformed to the image of his son, to be like Jesus. And listen to me now. If you're going to run that race, then you need to have your eyes on Jesus. You need to be looking to him. That is, you've got to have a new focus for your mind. And if you will, God will make you new. He'll make you new from the inside out. What I'm talking to you about is indeed the program or the process of renewal. How is it the Holy Spirit makes us more like Jesus? There's a process of renewal. The renewing of our body and the renewing of our mind. And let me just say in closing, there's not only a process of renewal, but there is a process of removal. A process of renewal, making us more like Jesus, and a process of removal. In Hebrews 12:1, the Bible tells us that if we're going to run the race that God has set before us, then you and I are going to have to start removing, laying aside every weight, and even the sin which does so easily beset us. If you were running a race, there are some things that would hold you back and keep you from reaching the goal line. It may be that you might be weighted down with some stuff. It might be that there are some sins that have got you, the Bible says, beset. The idea of being beset there, the word means to be surrounded and held back. The one thing that you don't want to be whenever you're in a race is to be surrounded and held back. You want to be free to run. But there are some things that will pull you down, that will hold you back, and that will weigh you down. Some of those things are sinful things. If you and I are going to move towards Christ's likeness, then there are sinful things in our life that have to be removed. And the Spirit of God is doing that work in us. His work in us is to remove everything that is sinful and to remove everything that is slowing us down. Removing everything sinful and everything that slows us. The weights that slow us down. Now, when I'm talking about slowing us down, I'm talking about slowing us down from becoming more like Jesus. You probably know what that is in your life. It may not be just sin, but it may just be slowly slowing stuff in your life. Just things that slow you down. If you were running a race, it might be that you're just wearing too many clothes. If I was running a race, I might want to put on some different clothes than what I have on. Maybe a different pair of shoes than I have on. It may not just be the clothes that I wear. It may be the cookies I've been eating. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And that'll slow you down as well. There's just some things. Listen, my clothes are not sinful and cookies aren't either. As a matter of fact, I think manna might have been just that. It might have just been cookies. I don't know. But nevertheless, there's not anything sinful necessarily about your clothing or about eating cookies. But I tell you, listen, if you're in a race, while they may not be sinful, those are the kinds of things that'll slow you down. And there may be some things in your life that may not be sin, but they're slowing you down. It might be just be baggage from your past. Baggage from your past that the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to unload, to deal with, to get rid of, so you can become more like Jesus. It may be bitterness in your soul. It may be that somebody has hurt you deeply, and you've been carrying around that bitterness on the inside of you, and the Spirit of God is trying to get you to unload that bitterness, to surrender it to Christ, to let go of it, to forgive. And the reason why is so you can become more like Jesus. It may be just areas of bondage to your flesh. And that is, you may be yielding to sinful desires of the flesh, just areas of bondage to the flesh. And He's trying to set you free, to teach you how to not live under the control of the flesh, but how to walk in the Spirit. It may just be you've been behaving like the world, acting like the world. You see, the Bible tells us, and Paul makes it clear in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, that a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life. And if you're going to be what God wants you to be, if you're going to become what the Spirit of God is trying to help you to become, you cannot be worldly. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. The Bible says in James 4:4. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 13:22 in a parable that the love or the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches will choke the Word of God out of your heart. It'll distract you from the very Word of God that the Spirit of God uses to make you more like Jesus. So it may just be worldliness in your life. But no matter what it is, whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever it is that's weighting you down, that's slowing you up from becoming everything that the Lord wants you to be, here's what the Spirit of God is doing in your life. He's trying to remove that out of your life. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. The process that the Holy Spirit uses to make you more like Jesus is the process of renewal and the process of removal from your life. Everything that is slowing you down from becoming like Jesus. And He's trying to renew you. He's trying to take the new you that you became when He saved you and extend that into every area of your life. That is your body, as well as your inner man, your mind. The renewing of the body, the renewing of the mind, and the removal of everything that would stand in the way of you becoming more like Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Are you cooperating with the Spirit of God? Are you? Or is He going to take you to the woodshed? Wouldn't it be better right now just to get honest with the Lord, with the Spirit of God who's been working on the inside of you, child of God? He's trying to remove some stuff out of the way. And He's trying to make you new in some areas of your life. Why don't you let Him do that? Why don't you cooperate with Him and let Him make you, transform you, and conform you into the image of the Son of God? Would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You for Your people and God, what You're trying to say to us and how You're trying to work in us. And I pray, Father, for those who've been holding back, God, that You, Father, would bring them to a point that they would turn loose. That, God, they would be willing to remove all that junk in their life that's holding them back from becoming more like Jesus. And, God, that they would allow the Spirit of God to do His work of renewal in their lives. That we could become more like Jesus in all the areas of our lives. In our relationships and Father, in our responsibilities, in the workplace, and wherever we are, that we'd begin to demonstrate the life and the character and the love of Jesus. Would You teach us how to do that? Would You do Your work in us? Thank You, blessed Savior, for Your death and resurrection. Because of the resurrection, the Spirit of God has come, and He is actively engaged in our lives, conforming us in the image of Jesus. And we thank You and praise You and give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.